Tommy's good. You know, the Word of God, it says to give honor to where honor is due. And the other side of this ministry is the founders of the ministry. And so I'm going to ask Brother Angelo and Sister Millie to come up here. And we would like to honor them. Amen. You cannot get far in life if you will not honor people. And so on behalf of Parish Christian Center, we are giving y'all this card. There's a gift in there for you. So we love y'all very much. Parish Christian Center would not be what it is. It would not be where it is. It would not be anything. It probably would not exist if they would not have heard God and listened to God. And I want to tell you that it's not easy to do what God told you to do. It's not easy to do what you're called to do. And so I'm grateful this morning. And all Jeremy and I have done is just take the torch and go further. And we're doing it all in the name and glory of Jesus Christ. And so y'all give them a warm welcome. I want to thank y'all for coming to God's house. You did the right thing. You're in the right place. If you've never heard my preaching, you're about to know if you like it or not. I'm going to tell you that I get loud and I get proud, and it is what it is because it's for Jesus. And so I thank God for all that He's done. God has done it. He's done it again and He's done it again. Well, what's He done? He's come through for you. He's perfected the things that have concerned you. He showed up, and He's never been a moment late. He won't be a moment late for you this time. Today we're going to talk about putting God first. It is so easy to be good and to be your best when you're on top of the mountain. But look here, things don't always grow in the mountain. Many times they grow in the valley. And you know what? The valley is more precious than anything else because it makes you who you are. When you can get on your knees and you can say, God, in Jesus' name, it's not going my way right now. But God, I know that it's going to turn around. And God, you're going to make it to turn for my good. So God, even on my worst day, God, I'll get on my knees and I'll give you what's yours, and it's your praise. God, it's your glory. And let me tell you something, there's many times where you're bringing that, and it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. That's why the Word of God says, now you bring forth the sacrifice of praise. Why does it say that? Because you ain't going to always be feeling it all the time. Anybody that'll tell you different, they lying. We don't feel it all the time. I don't wake up every day and feel like I'm going to behave. You want a pastor that's going to lie to you, you can go somewhere else, but I'm going to keep it real behind this desk. That's the only thing that I know that really saves people is when the ministry can just tell it like it is and they can be honest. And not only can they be honest, but look here, our lives, they're an open book. You want to know something? That door is open. It's transparent. Why? Because that's what's going to help other people, just to be real. So let's go this morning to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin at verse 19. As y'all turn there, I'm going to begin to pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you right now. And Holy Spirit, I tell you that you're welcome here. God, I ask that you would walk down every single aisle. God, where there needs to be conviction, God, I ask for conviction right now. Lord, you know everybody, God, that they're relying on your word for that healing. God, I ask that you'd create that healing and manifest it in their body right now. God, I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, there's people, and they should be in these pews right now. God, they have not put you first. Lord, there's no other way to tell it but that. So, God, I ask you right now, God, create circumstances in their life where they come back and put you first. Lord, for every family member that we're concerned about, God, we lift them up to you right now. And, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in this service. Lord, I thank you that people walk out of here. They know who you are, God, and they have that peace where there's been an unrest. And Lord, I thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in Matthew chapter 6, and verse 19 is where we're going to start. And it says here, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. See, what do you have stored up in heaven right now? What do you have stored up in heaven for you right now? Many people are so concerned with this life, and I get it, because this is where we're at right now. But look here, start storing up some things in heaven. What can you store up? Souls. Souls. And it says, where thieves break in, do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be also. Many people, if I said, where's your heart at? Where's your heart at in the matter? Where's your heart at in the middle of your battle? Where is it at? Many people, they don't know where they stand. They don't know what they believe in. They can't sing that song, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Why? Because they're moved. They're moved by circumstances. They're moved by troubles. There's a place for you in Jesus that he wants you to be able to come and say, you know what, God, you told me in your word that when I've done everything that I could do to stand, then I'm there to just stand. But many people can't even say that because they're tossed here, there, everywhere. If I say, what's in your heart right now? Many people don't know. That's a problem. That's a problem. Because where your heart is, there your treasure's going to be. For the first several months of this coronavirus, I was sitting there and I was going, God, Lord, what are you trying to do? Let me tell you something. This has been one of the most stressful, but it's been useful. Can you look at your battle and say, God, I didn't like it, but you certainly made the most of it. You know what it's done for everybody in leadership, everybody in ministry? You know what it has done, Mama Brenda? It's been a tell-all. It's been a tell-all. Does God require faithfulness in the middle of a pandemic? Yes, he does. Has this given people a golden ticket to pull some shenanigans? Yes, it has. Yes, it has. Let me tell you something. There will be a day, it's coming closer and closer, where every single knee is going to bow down. That they're also going to say, Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. He is the only Lord. I've got people telling me, Pastor Kelly, I'm scared. That's fine. Watch it on Facebook. But I don't want to see you out on Saturday night drunker than a skunk telling me how scared you are to come to God's house. Amen. Am I preaching it real this morning? Yes, I am. Because at the end of the day, Crystal, let me tell you something. The type of pastor that I'm going to be is I'm going to look each and every last person in the face. And when you're wrong, I'm going to say, brother, you're wrong. I love you, but you're wrong. Why? Because I'm going to give an account. I can't afford to just belly up and say, it's okay, it's a free-for-all, do what you want to do. No. I'm going to have to answer. So, Mama Brenda, long as Jeremy and I are pastors here, I'm going to tell it like it is. When we stand before Jesus, I'm going to say, Jesus, I did the best I could. Jesus, I said it. Where most men and women of God, they would not have said what I said. So if this comes and it convicts that heart this morning, look here, before you call me and you say I'm offended because I feel like you was preaching at me, let there be no mistake. I'm preaching exactly to you. Let me also tell you something. Before I can preach it to you, I'm looking at that man and that woman in the mirror. I'm talking to myself, and I'm preaching to myself. Because tyranny, let me tell you something, I got a lot of room to grow. I'm not perfect. There's many times where I say, God, why did you call me to do this? Because I'm very imperfect. I think God knows. I'll just get up here and tell it. People are like, oh, my God, I can't believe she tells that about herself. Yep. I tell stuff about myself, and that's how I keep myself straight. Because we ain't going to have people thinking things that's just not true. I'm not perfect, and that's out there. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at 25. And we're going to read here, because let me tell you something. God is still God. God is still God. Are we hot over here? You hot? Is anybody hot besides the pregnant girl? I'm hot and I'm not pregnant, but I'm trying to look nice for y'all. Some people can't envision pastors unless they wear a suit jacket, so here we are. Here we are. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. What you will wear, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And there we see it again. Them birds, they know God is going to come through. They know they're going to eat. They're not storing that stuff away. Megan, they've come to a place. They know who created them. They're going to just be happy little birds and chirp, chirp, chirp. How can a bird trust God more than we do? I don't know. And it says, are you not much more valuable than they? And if there's something that I know that this world is doing to people, it's making them feel inadequate, not important. It's making people feel like, you know what, I don't matter. It's making people feel like, you know what, I went too far and there's no hope for me. I want to tell each and every last one of you this right here. You're very valuable. God loves you. God has no regrets when it comes to you. He's not looking and being like, oh, what was I thinking when I made that one? No. He's looking and he goes, no, that one's special. And some of you, he's going, that one's very special. So my mother used to tell me when I was hanging off the ceiling fans in here, Dad would go, can't you act like your sister? No. Look, if I could, I would, and I can't, so there. So in the meantime, we're going to be hanging from the ceiling fans. It takes all kinds. But I want you to know that God loves you very much. If you don't hear another part of this message, I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know however you came up in here today, you may come up in here and that heart is weary. I want you to know that God knows. He fills every ounce of that weariness with you. If you came up here and you're broken and you think, God, is this going to work out? God, I'm scared. It's working out right now. It's working out right now. The devil's given everybody every reason to think this ain't working. Look here. It's working out and it's working out right now. Why? Because today is the day of salvation. Right now. Get up out of the past. Get up out of coulda, shoulda, woulda. Be you and be the best version of you for today. Tomorrow has got enough problems for tomorrow. Live in today. In Him we live. In Him we move. And in Him we have our being. Y'all are so agreeable, I don't know what to think. But it says, are you not much more valuable? And today I want to tell you that you're much more valuable. You are much more valuable. When that enemy called Satan, the accuser of the brethren, when he wants to come in there and tell you every reason why it's not working out, when he wants to tell you every reason why you're not going to get the breakthrough, when he wants to give you every reason why it's not going to come through for you and you're going to go under. There's that still, small voice of the living God, and he says, today is the day of breakthrough. Today is the day that I turn it around. Do not let the devil get you in a state of mind where you feel so belittled about yourself. God wants you to wake up every single morning and he wants you to say, hi, God. And he wants you to put that chin up and hold that chin up because God says that you're valuable. So act like it. So act like it. Act like you have value. Many of us, if we get something new, we baby it around for a minute. About 6 months later, we're like, I'm going to eat fries up in this new car. I'm going to, man, when I first got my house, I was like, oh, we're going to keep this clean, prim, and proper. You should be up in that house. I don't even want to be up in there right now. This corona has done a number on my household. Looks like a clothing store, a department store, a toy store, a restaurant. I got lots of things going on up in that house. Don't y'all pop in for surprise visits. It's not the time. I'm just going to tell you. I'd be embarrassed. If you really need to pop in, it's fine. You're just going to sit in a pile of laundry with me. If you want that, then by all means, come on over. So Matthew chapter 6, it says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Why? Because you know what, Rosie? There's a place where God wants us to get up in the morning and say, God, you dress me right now. God, you help me to put on the full armor of who you are, because there's things waiting on you in that day that God himself has preordained. There's divine appointments. There's divine happenings. And people walking around and they feel like they've got no value. There needs to be a heart change with people. Why? Because every time there's a heart change, there's a game change. You sick of being stuck? Get a heart change up in there. And it says here, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father, he knows that you need them. And I want to tell you something right now. There has to be a difference between the sinner and the saint. And right now, what we're seeing in every part of the world is there's not much of a difference. Let me tell you something. That should not be. Now, I'm going to go to meddling, and I'm going to tell you right now, this message is not going to get me any brownie points. It's a good thing I'm not one of them pastors that cares about them brownie points. If you on Facebook and all your posts got a bunch of cuss words, please don't tell nobody you go to this church. And please stop doing that. Why? Because that is not how God is going to get glory out of your life. Give God your best. And until you do, don't cry and whine around at your life because it's gotten messed up. If you cannot give God your very best, you will not get God's very best, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Why are there few that find it? Because very few are looking. Very few people care. These seats are empty because look here, God's done some pruning. And I've had to come and resolve and say, God, You prune everything that you feel like needs pruning, including myself. Because God, I know I ain't right. Can you keep it that real? Can you look at your life and say, now, God, I got some awful things about myself. What are we going to do about that? I know I can't go on like that. Or are you like, I got it all together. I got it all right. But Sally Sue over there, she is messed up. See, how are you? Where's your heart? Have you stored up anything in heaven? Where are you today? I can't answer for you. It says, for the pagans run after all these things. Have you noticed everybody's running after something right now? Everybody's running after something right now. People being mean to people for no reason. People, I mean, poor President Trump, I don't care if you voted for him or not. That's irrelevant. Because God has placed every authority as he sees fit. People's like, I pray to God President Trump dies from that corona. Let me tell you something, people. Stand to your feet because we're about to gather together and we're going to pray for that man. Look here. I don't care if you voted for him. I don't care if you didn't vote at all. That is the president. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I lift him and his wife up to you right now. God, leading ain't easy. God, I ask first of all that you would heal him, God. Heal his wife. Heal his family. God, every single part of him, Lord, where he needs a healing in that body. God, the emotional things that he's gone through because he's led this country. God, I ask that you'd help him right now. God, bind his wounds up, Lord. God, I ask that you would give him favor, Lord. And I thank you for our president, God. And Lord, I thank you right now that you know exactly who the next president's going to be. God, I thank you that it's been done, been ordained. And Lord, we thank you for that. And God, we thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Look here. You will not get anywhere if you can't pray for other people. And it says here, but seek first. Everybody say first. Seek first the kingdom, his kingdom and his righteousness. On a weekly, almost daily basis, I deal with this matter almost every day. And people say, I don't understand how my life got this way. It was never supposed to be this way. Does it rain on the just and the unjust? Yes, it does. It most certainly does. But let me tell you something. You will not get around the Word of God. You can take this Word and you can apply it to your life and you can sit back and you can watch the hand of God move over and over and over. But you ain't twisting this word and making it into what you want it to be. We're not taking this word and saying, okay, I'm going to take a 3, 5, 7 and number 11, but I'm going to leave the rest of them out and I'm going to do what I want to do in this Bible. That's not how it works. That ain't how it works. So when your pastor is standing up here and they're reading to you, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let me tell you something, baby doll. You better pray to God. You're getting something going up in your veins that's telling you, I better seek first the kingdom of God. I better seek his righteousness. Because let me tell you something. If you'll seek him first, then all these things that you're concerned about, all the life issues, all the things that the devil tried to take from you, let me tell you something. God will add them. He'll make up the difference. But if you sit in there today and you say, why ain't this working out? Let me ask you a question. Have you put him first? Have you sought him first? Many times we get into life's trials and we think, I'm going to fix this. Did you seek him first? Did you seek him first? Did you put him first? God is a jealous God. He will not have any other gods before him. Anything that you put above the living God, you've made that your God. There's only one name that we can call on to be saved. So let me tell you something for everybody under the sound of my voice. And let me just say, yeah, I'm going to go to Midland. If you single up in here, do not put a man or a woman before God, because it's going to go south for you. If you sitting there and you think that your job is more important than anything in your life, you wrong. God gave you the job. He's going to keep the job. When it's time for you to move on, he'll open another door. But people got to put God first. That's the first thing. And that's the hardest thing. Why? Because we wake up and we want to do what we want to do. We want to handle things how we want to handle them. I can't even get through getting ready for church without hearing everybody's excuses why they ain't coming. Sometimes I'm like, God, who's coming? We're keeping it very real today. Why? Because truth is going to help people. Let me tell you something. Put God first. Put him first. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. When you go to the grocery store, when you need to take a grocery store trip, you say, God, is this the day I need to go to the grocery store? God, if you've got a divine appointment waiting on me in the produce aisle, God, you make sure I'm alert and ready. You watch whose car you get up into. God, do you want me up in this person's car? You watch who you date. God, is this what you have for me? You watch who you marry. You marry the wrong person, that'll be all you ever do. At least that's my opinion. Why? Because I've been engaged a few times. I've been married 12 years today, and the devil sure tried to mess my life up. When I married Pastor Jeremy, let me tell you something. I was very sure that was the one for me. And I woke up, and it was lightning. And it was about 5 in the morning, and I woke up on my wedding day, and it was dark. The power was out everywhere. That's life. I was up in that bed, and I heard that thunder, and I knew it was going to be a day. And I said, look here, devil. See, when was the last time you got that slimy, filthy devil by the throat and just began to choke him out of your life? I said, look here. If I got to marry Pastor Jer on the sidewalk under an umbrella, I'd marry him in the bathroom, devil. But this is happening today. See, sometimes we get afraid of things just because nothing is that easy all the time. I wish I could tell you when you got saved, you'll never have another problem. It's going to be good. You're good. You're going to face troubles. You're going to face trials. But you have something with you that you didn't have before you had Christ, and that's somebody that's got your back. There are things that God's called me to do, and he made them easy for me. There are things that God called me to do, and Mama Brenda, there are times where I'm just crying through them. But you know what I do? I suit up and I show up. You know why? because there was never a moment where God did not suit up and show up for me. You want God's best? You better give Him your best. That's the only way it's working out perfectly for you. You're going to have trouble. God's already in that trouble. He's already taken care of it. Put Him first. Put Him first. Put Him first. Seek you first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So many people are worried about the details of the problem. The details of what the issue is. Look, here's what I can tell you. I substituted again the other day. I'm starting to think that's a bad idea because it got me doing this math stuff, and I don't know what it is. Got these math sentences. And the poor little kids is looking at me for direction, and I'm going, we're going to put this in the math drawer because I do not know. Okay? I'm sorry. You know why they think it'd be good for me to teach you math, but it was not a good idea. I barely passed math, okay? If you'll seek Him first, all these things, they're going to just be added. At the end of the day, what I know about math is 1 plus 1 is going to always equal 2. I don't care if they put them letters up in there and all that confusing stuff and they make these sentences out of math questions I don't know. No idea. But what I know, Rosie, is that 1 plus 1 is going to always equal 2. What I know here as your pastor is if we'll put God first, all these things are going to be added to your life. When we face trials of many things, we think, God, what are you going to do about this? And we skip several points ahead, and we're like, oh, my God, I'm worried about this. And God is saying, here's today. Here's today. Put me first in today. Because when you do, all these things that you're so concerned about, those things are already taken care of. You have to seek Him first. You seek Him first. You put Him first. And you keep Him first. You keep Him first. Is church attendance everything? No. It's going to help you, though. It's going to help you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day, has enough trouble of its own. And let me tell you what, His mercies are also new each day. His grace, His healing, His provision, it's new each day. The other day, my little 9-year-old, Miss Clayton, he got on my nerves so bad. Said, Daddy, come get him. I don't know what I'm about to do this child. So I need a break for just a second for his safety. That's true. I'm sorry if you think that's terrible. I'm telling you, it was for the best. You ever have that last nerve? And somebody done got on it? Okay. Well, that was me that day. But I told my little boy when I got him back. I said, Carson Paul, I want to tell you something. Your daddy and I, we love you more than we love any other thing. We love Jesus, but son, right after Jesus, there's you. That's how much that we love you. I said, Carson, I wasn't happy with your behavior today. You disappointed me today. But I want to talk to you, Carson, about tomorrow. Tomorrow, Carson Paul, we're going to wake up, and baby, you've got a brand new slate. That slate is clean. Mama's full of mercy and kindness and grace for you tomorrow. Let's go to bed. Let's be done with this day. I'm going to tell you something. Each day has enough grace for you. Each day has enough of every single thing that you need. If you will wake up in each day and say, God, I'm going to put you first. God, help me to do it. Because God, I'm not going to naturally just want to wake up and put you first in every single aspect of my life. God, give me the strength and give me the intelligence to be obedient with what you want me to do. Because God, I know that when I'll put you first, everything is going to line up. It's hard to put him first because you're going to always struggle with that flesh part of you that wants to do what you want to do. And God knows that. And he still says, put me first. Let's go to John chapter 3. Or actually, we're going to go to Matthew 24. Sorry. We're going to look at verse 1. And it says here, Jesus left the temple and was walking away, and when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings, he said, do you see all these things, he asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Look here. This stuff's happening right now. Don't be the one scratching your head going, what's going on? Jesus is coming back. That's what's going on. Such things must happen. They gotta happen. There's a certain order that they're gonna happen in, and that's begun. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. Are you seeing that? Have you saw that? Hey, none of us can get along with none of us. Now we over here killing each other. Forget about the nation rising up against nation. Here we are, our own nation, getting up on our own nation, fighting with each other. There will be famines and earthquakes. Have you seen that? Okay. In various places, have you seen it all over? Yes, we have. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Gina, what's going to happen in December, honey? You're going to have some birth pains. If you change your mind and you say, oh, no, I don't want to have this baby. No, I'm scared. That's what I did. I got up in there to have Carson Paul, and they were like, okay, it's time to push. And I was like, no, it's not time. I'm too scared. After like 18 hours, I thought, I'm going to get my second win. I'm scared. I don't know if I'll ever be the same after this. I never have been. I'm crazier. You're going to have them birth pains. They're going to get closer and closer. And guess what? You're going to have that baby. Look here. This stuff that I just read to you, those things, they're happening, number one. But number two, they're happening closer together. Jesus is coming back. What do we do when we know somebody's coming back? We get ready. Get your life ready. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. I said, God, what's going on? Look here. You know what I can say about the corona now? It's been useful. How's it been useful? It's been a tell-all. It's been a tell-all. When I was looking in that parking lot, when we had parking lot services for like 3 months, God said, Kelly, catch a vision. I didn't do this to you, Kelly. I did it for you. Get what you're supposed to get out of this trial. Enjoy this part of the trial, Kelly, because this is going to help you. A couple months went by. God began to show me, Kelly, here's the weak part. Build more on the weak part. It opened our eyes to be able to see what we could do better, how we could help people more. The trial of your faith is more precious than what you're giving it credit for. And when you get up in the thick of that trial, remember one thing. If I put him first, this thing's going away. God's taking care of this. All these things that make me feel like this trial's taking me over, God's done got all the things. God's got it all. We're playing checkers, and it's your move. Will you put him first? Easier to put him first when everything's going wrong, and I want to know what you're going to do when it's all going right. What are we doing when it's all going right? We don't live on the mountain. We don't necessarily live in the valley, but we grow in the valley. Life has a thing about it. 1 minute you're happy and you're like, oh, this is great. And then something will happen and you can go from being great to being terrible in an instant. You ever been in a situation like that where you're like, oh, life is great, and you get a phone call or you get something and all of a sudden you don't change your mind about what you done said 5 minutes ago. You're like, oh, my God, Lord. Put him first. Put him first. I'm not oversimplifying it, but I'm telling you, your key move is putting him first. And it says here, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness. Are you seeing an increase in wickedness? Are you seeing it? Are you seeing how mean people are willing to be to each other? The love of most will grow cold. That's what I see. I see a lot of people saying they love God, and you say, when's the last time you talked to God? They don't even know. Where do you go to church? Well, I go down there with Pastor Kelly, Parish Christian Center. When's the last time you been? They don't know. When's the last time you got on your knees and you prayed instead of getting on that phone and gossiping? When was the last time you done that? I ain't never done that. They don't know. They don't know. That's why we're talking about it today. Because look here. When I have to stand before God, I want to be able to say, God, I preached that. It fell on whatever ground it fell on. But the love of most will grow cold. People are very cold right now for one reason or another. But I'm going to tell each and every person, put them first. Put him first. He's still the God of miracles. He's still the God of blessing. He's still the God of provision. That's never going to change. Put Him first. Put Him first. Do what He told you to do. When it gets hard, do what He told you to do. It don't last all. It's not permanent. The hard is not permanent. It's temporary. You're going through it. He's getting you through it. But don't let your love for Christ grow cold. Stir yourself up. Get yourself ready to meet your Maker. When you got a problem that comes up in your life and it looks like it's bigger than God, get on your knees and say, God, in Jesus' name, I take your heart for this situation right now. Lord, I don't care what the doctors say. God, it's your report. What do you got to say? When all your enemies are talking, you shut them out and you say, God, in Jesus' name, what do you got to say, God? God's going to have the last word. He's going to have the last word. John chapter 3, verse 30. And it says, He must become greater. I must become less. He must increase. I must decrease. You're going to always have that way you want to handle it, but look here, ain't nobody handle it like God. Ain't nobody work it out like God. Ain't nobody knows it like God knows it. That part of you that you know ain't right, you got to work on that. You got to get that to come down. You got Jesus, and He wants to be more and more and more in your life. You got to decrease so that He can increase. You either going to have your way or you're going to have God's way. God's way may cost you a little bit of comfort for a moment. There's things God said, now I want you to do this, and I want you to do it in this way. And I'm going, now God, that doesn't seem like the most comfortable way for me to handle that. I don't want to handle it that way. Well, that way is going to give you the very best out of the situation. Put Him first. Put Him first. Decrease that part of you that you know is not right. Tell God, God, increase. I want an increase of you in my life. God, become bigger than this problem. God, I'm going to shut my big fat mouth and I'm going to stop running my mouth. And God, I'm going to start praying for that enemy. God, I'm going to start praying for that family member. God, I'm going to start praying for that person. God, I'm praying for that situation at my job. Increase that part of you that wants to just increase Jesus. Tell yourself, self, you're going to line up with what the Word of God's saying to do. Paul said, now I buffet myself. I make myself come into line. It's not easy to get a hold of yourself. You ever have a moment? I done told you I did. I said, come get Him. At any point in time, you can stop. Right where you're at. Because the Word of God says, now whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you find yourself in that moment and you say, God, I need help. God, I didn't do it my way. God, I didn't do it your way and I did it my way and I'm in a mess. God is the best I know at cleaning up a mess. Ain't nobody clean it up like God. And ain't nobody won't hold that grudge like God won't. You ever done something to somebody and you know they're holding that grudge against you and you wish they'd just let it go and forgive you? That's how God is. He's not holding that against you. And He's making it work out. Last place for me, John chapter 15. Verse 1, see who is God in your life. We're not talking about Sally Sue or Johnny Joe. We're talking about you. Who is he to you? Do you have an intimate personal relationship with him, or are y'all just acquaintances with him? Only you can answer that. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Let me tell you something. There's parts in all of us, Crystal, they ain't bearing fruit. There's parts in my life, Tierney, they ain't bearing fruit. What if I want God's best, what do I have to do? I have to say, God, come in and prune that part. It's not bearing fruit. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. See, there's the part of us, it's right. It's bearing fruit. What is he going to do? He's going to prune it up just a little bit. Why? Because it's going to make it grow some more. Going to make it grow some more. God is into growth. He's into making you better than you've ever been before. He's into healing. He's into blessing. When he gets to pruning you, don't get mad at God. That's what a lot of people do. God, I'm mad at you. Look here. He ain't done yet. Be patient. So that it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Look here. If you'll stay in Jesus, Jesus is staying in you. He's staying with you. Stay in him. Good times, bad times, ugly times, hard times. Stay with Jesus. Put him first. No branch can bear fruit by itself. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Many times what I see is troubled people. I've seen this so many times in the past year, not to count the other 34 years that I saw it growing up in the ministry. Here's what happens, and this is a classic. It's kind of like Mickey Mouse. Certain things are just a classic. They ain't ever going away. You'll see a troubled family or a troubled person come in. They'll give God what they should have given them beforehand. What will God do? He'll turn their life around and he'll make it good. He'll give them the house. He'll give them their children back. He'll clean them up of drugs. He'll do all those things. And then what happens? Decisions. Blessing or curse? Life or death? They choose. And they walk right out the door and go back to the slimy stuff they was doing before that got them up into that the very first time. See? You got to remain in the vine because no branch can bear fruit by itself. I had about 5 calls yesterday. We ain't coming. We know we need to come, but we got stuff to do. Look here, baby. There is a day that's coming. God ain't taking excuses. No, that one's going straight to the answer machine. Why? Because he done come back, got his kids, and left. Put him first. Put him first. And until you putting him first, don't get mad at him when stuff ain't going right. Don't get mad at God. God loves you. You must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Look here. If you'll stay with God, if you'll remain in him, if you'll be faithful, if you'll love him even when it's hard, God's going to do some things. Hang in there. He's going to do some things. Things we never thought even possible. He's going to do those things. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. See, when life hits, is his words in you? Is there anything that's coming out? See, Lord, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. What's the problem? Well, most problem is people don't have the word up in them. So when them hard times come, we're like, I don't know if God's going to work this out or not. Because you don't got them promises up in there that says, yeah, they're working out. They're working out right now. God, your word is in this heart. God, when trouble comes, the word is coming out. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Get to figuring out what he's got to say about your life, what he has to say about your problem, because what he says is you've already got the victory. Stand up, act like you're valuable, go on with your life, and go on with Jesus. If you made mistakes, stop living in those mistakes. Brush them things off, shake it off, and go on and live your life. But live it for him and keep him first. Amen? And it says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in his love. What are you in today? Is it a wonderful experience or is it a disaster? Are you in trouble or are you okay? Look here. Either way, remain. Remain in him. Put him first. Put him first. If you've sat there today and you thought, ugh, and there's been that little prick in you, that's because that word is getting on some ground that it needs to go to. If you've heard this message today and you can say, God, there are some places I've not put you first. God, there's other places in my life, they ain't bearing fruit. God, I'm going to let you cut those things out. God, I've held on to them, but I can see that's not going to benefit me any longer. God, have your way. See, have you come to the end of you where you think, I don't want to do this my way anymore? God, I just want what you want. If there's places where you say, Lord, I'm telling you right now, I have not put you first. But God, I'm going to put you first in these areas. I'm going to ask you to stand. Why are we standing? Well, that embarrasses me. Well, I'm sorry. Then this must not be for you, because look here. There ain't nothing to be embarrassed about. This is called keeping it real. I'm going to pray. When you leave here, the most important thing is, what do you do with this message after you leave? Dale, we do the only thing we can do with a message like this. We put it into practice. We become doers of that word. So God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every single person, God. They heard your word today. And God, I thank you right now, Lord, that in every area that they've recognized, God, that they haven't put you first. God, I thank you because right now there's a turnaround happening right now. God, I thank you for your provision and your favor. God, I thank you for it right now. Lord, I ask that you bless all of your people, all of your children in here today. God, you know exactly what they need. Lord, I ask that you give unto them. God, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. God, running over. I ask that you'd help them and give them the courage to do what they need to do. And Lord, I thank you right now for every breakthrough, every blessing. They're all from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, we will have church tonight at 5:30. Pastor Jeremy will be preaching.